Thank you very much. First of all, thank you for coming. Thank you for supporting Hillary. I want to thank your wonderful representative of Congress, Grace Meng. She has done such a good job there for you, and I am grateful for her support for Hillary. I want to thank Michelle Kwan, who has worked her heart out for Hillary for so long now, and I thank her for that. I thank the city council members who are here, Ron Kim, Margaret Chen, Karen Koslowitz. I want to thank Reshma Sajani, who spoke earlier, the head of the AAIP Leadership Council, or a member, who is active in something called Girls Who Code. And my daughter Chelsea and our foundation have been big supporters of this. It's another way of increasing the potential of all Americans in a way that will allow us all to rise together. Thank you, Paul Vallone, for being here. I want to thank a young man who hasn't been up here on the stage, Jason Tingo, who left the White House where he was working in the President Obama's Office of Asian American and Pacific Affairs to come help Hillary's campaign. We're working hard all over America to reach out to this community. And I just want to say one thing to begin that Grace said. In a way, the whole shape of this election is coming down to the primary in New York. And it depends on what you think about it. Hillary's opponent is working hard here. He grew up in Brooklyn before he moved to Vermont. She spent the last 15 years here, and you sent her to the Senate, and then overwhelmingly reelected her, and then she became Secretary of State. It's very interesting, these two candidates have had a very elevated and fierce debate about the issues facing America without a lot of the slamming that you see on the other side. But they do have some differences. It's important to remember, however, that her opponent says everybody who's not for him is by definition a member of some dark establishment. They voted together 93% of the time. And I would bet most of you would agree with Hillary where they disagree. She voted for Senator Kennedy's comprehensive immigration reform in 2007, the last time we had a chance to pass it, and millions of Americans would be on their way to citizenship today, including members of the Asian American Pacific Islander community, if that bill had passed. She's the only candidate you can vote for in either primary who voted for it. And she also favors universal background checks before people can buy guns that include all the ways of buying guns and mental health checks. And she is the only person you can vote for in either party who has always favored that. And she doesn't believe we can be against all trade, and she thinks many Americans, including a lot of you in this room, are successful exporters. Thousands and thousands and thousands of American companies depend upon the Export-Import Bank to allow American exporters to sell their products overseas. She is now the only person you can vote for who voted for the Export-Import Bank. Only one non-Republican joined Senator Ted Cruz to oppose the Export-Import Bank, which simply allows us to compete with other countries on an even footing, and that's her opponent. So they both got progressive records. They both want to reduce income inequality. They have compelling arguments on finance, college loans, and health care. In all of those areas, I think she's right, but there are those differences that tell the tale. And I think it's very important that we recognize where we are now. The economy has come back for many people. We've had 14 million jobs in the last 5 years under President Obama. That's the fastest job growth since that last Democrat was president, whatever his name was, when we had 23 million in 8 years, just under. We have 90% of our people with health insurance. for the first time in the history of the United States of America. And it'll be fairly easy to get to 100 if we address the real problems. The insurance market's not working now. The co-pays and deductibles are too high. The drug prices for everybody are way too high. She has a plan to address that. But it's better than going back to square one and starting all over again. On college, Hillary believes the most practical, workable solution that will help the largest number of Americans is to make sure every young person can go to college and emerge debt-free, and to make sure that everybody who has debt already can pay it off over a long period of time at no more than 10% of their after-tax income, no matter how much they borrow. That's very important. Now, think what that means in this community. There are so many young people out there who cannot move out of their parents' homes because they can't make a debt payment and a rent payment. There are many young people who have jobs they took just to pay the bills for college loans, and if they wanted to take another job, let's say they wanted to become a social worker to help people dealing with mental health issues or drug issues, and it paid less than their current job, they couldn't do it. If her bill passes, they will be able to, because your debt payment is tied to your salary. There are a lot of young people who dream of starting their own business, but they can't get a loan to do it because their credit rating is weighed down by their college debt. If your debt was limited to 10% of your after-tax income, at most, if you got a smaller debt, it would be less, you could go to the bank and qualify for financing, because a lot of businesses don't make money in the first year or two, and then they do. The loan repayment is a function of how much you make. Think of that. It would liberate the energies of so many people. Young people could move out of their parents' house if they wished. Young people could switch jobs to do what they love. Young people could be able to start businesses without having to wait 10 or 15 years till they pay their college debt off. And if you haven't paid it off in 20 years, the rest is forgiven. If you want to pay it off early, do 2 years in AmeriCorps and take any kind of public service job, you can get more than $24,000 tax-free. This is a good plan. It would lift America, and we could do it together. There are a lot of economic barriers holding people back. What are they? Well, first of all, one of the consequences of that financial crash is that the good news is, because of the Dodd-Frank bill, Wall Street, and we have a person here who represents Wall Street in the assembly, there are 50 or 60,000 fewer people working in finance today on Wall Street than ever before. So New York City's economy is diversifying, not just in Queens and Brooklyn and the Bronx and Staten Island, but here in Manhattan. But the reason the employment's down is because it's harder to speculate if you're in a big bank. You have to keep more capital, and the risk of failure is smaller. That's the good news. The bad news for people who live here is that a lot of banks are also afraid to lend money to small businesses. And Grace is on the committee on small business in the United States Congress, and I think one of the reasons she's so enthusiastic about this campaign is Hillary said, look, if we have to make the law clearer, we will. The law is clear. We're going to enforce the Community Reinvestment Act. You have to loan money in every community in which you take deposits or have an ATM machine. We've got to get back to lending. There's a law on the books, this Community Reinvestment Act, that says that. But it's often not enforced. More than 90% of all the lending that ever occurred under it when I was president occurred just in the 8 years I was president. And we got $800 billion in small business loans out there, and America flourished. We doubled the number of small business loans to women and to minorities in my 8 years over the previous 40. That's what Hillary wants to do again. Two-thirds of our jobs come from small business, and we have got to get the lending back. And it's very important. Another barrier is the United States used to rank always in the top 10 in the percentage of women in the workforce. We're about 19th now. Why? First, we don't have equal pay. Second, we're one of only seven countries left on earth that doesn't have any form of paid leave. And third, we don't have affordable child care for everybody. She wants to solve all those problems. If you do that, the participation of women in the workforce will explode, the economy will go up, and we'll all rise together, which is what we need to do. And there are, of course, a lot of other barriers. We need to improve education for all of our children. We need to follow the global research on what works in giving federal aid to education. What works? Shanghai is the highest performing urban school system in the world. But if Massachusetts were a separate country, it would be the eighth best. A lot of people don't know this. And there are a lot of immigrants in Massachusetts, a lot of low-income people. Not everybody is a professor at MIT or Harvard or a high-tech millionaire. There are a lot. It's a very diverse state. They did it because for 20 years, they followed the same formula that made Shanghai do so well. They invested their money in making teachers better and in making principals better and involving the community so that all the schools were above average and the average rose. And that's how excellence is achieved in a uniform manner. She wants to do that. And finally, on this college aid program, the AAPI community has very high college graduation rates, but they're far from even. For example, Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders over 25 only have a 14% completion rate. This college aid program is very important because we know that the unemployment rate nationwide for people with just a bachelor's degree is 2.5%. Every extra year you spend in school over a certain, beyond high school, adds 10 or 20% per year to your earning capacity for life. It's very important that we also have good apprenticeship programs. And I think that she's really got a good program on that. There are other barriers. A lot of people get knocked out early from discrimination and bullying in school. And in this community, that applies today especially to Muslims, Sikhs, South Asian, LGBT people. We got to stop that. And she has proposed a Safe Schools Improvement Act to do it. We've got to stop racial profiling and go back to community policing, where people walk the streets in the community in police uniforms. We need the police. We all know we need that. But what works best is when people walk the streets and they look more like the people they're policing, and every neighborhood has a council to which the police are gladly accountable. So when anything happens that goes wrong, people sit and meet and talk and agree on what happened and agree on what to do about it. Even today, all you ever see in the headlines are when there is a terrible video and there's alienation in the community. But there are communities all over this country that have solved the problems first by protecting the videos to make sure they're stored in a place where no one can doctor them or do away with them. And secondly, by having neighborhood community councils that meet on a regular, sustained basis. I think that's important. The other thing I wanted to say is we have got to do something about this family visa backlog. As all of you know, key Asian Pacific members make up 40% of the family visa backlog. With all this talk in the other party about illegal immigration and all these problems, there are some people from the Philippines who've been waiting for more than 20 years for visas. And your community has been great for America. It's been a blessing of hard work and family values and lifting up. What's the deal with the visa backlog? We once, when I was president, were able to stop a planned terrorist attack on the Los Angeles airport of radicals who flew out of the Philippines. That was a long time ago. Is that a reason to delay visas? Why is the 23-year backlog there? She will do her best to clean it up, shore it up, and make that system work. If people need to be checked out, fine. If you can't find out something in 23 years, you need to find something else to do. If any of you waited 23 years to make any decision, your businesses would all be failures. We have to do something about this. Asian immigrants also make up about 11% of the undocumented immigrants in this country, which is why it is so important, since we missed the last chance in 2007 to pass immigration reform, that we do it now. We have got to take the burden off of all these people who are worried about having their families broken up. There are about 11.5 million undocumented people in America, but there are 16 million or more people affected by it because a lot of them are living in families that have citizens or people who are properly documented. And we can't go on with this. And first of all, we're not going to deport everybody, no matter what they say in the other party. And secondly, if we did, it would not only be immoral, it would collapse the American economy. So that's not going to happen. But until we clean this up, we have to support these programs President Obama has instituted, DACA and DAPA, to protect children from being ripped out of their schools and parents whose children are here with proper credentials from being thrown away and having the families broken up. And then we need to pass this law. We all know what needs to be done. There has been a lot of increase in border enforcement. There has been no net in-migration from Mexico since 2010. If we're going to spend $10 billion to build a wall, at least ought to be aimed at the right target. That's a joke. I don't want to do it. Now, what else? The real reason Hillary ought to be president is that this country has the greatest potential for the future of any big country in the world, and you're a big part of it. We do have more jobs than we've had in a long time. A lot of you are more steeped in economic history than some people. It's in 400 years. We have good information for 400 years. Not a single solitary country that suffered a financial crash as big as ours fully recovered in less than 10 years. Not one. We got our jobs back. We got our jobs back in 7.5 years, which is why I think the president's done a better job than he often gets credit for. But not the incomes. The reason for all this intensity on both sides is that 80% of the people hadn't had a pay raise after inflation since the crash. And half the American people, after inflation, are living on what they were living on the last day I was president. So the main job is to keep the jobs coming, increase the quality of the jobs, and raise wages. Raising the minimum wage will help, equal pay will help, but you've got to have a different job mix too, and you have to have more small business creation and more efficient manufacturing, which can come back to the American shores, because transportation is now often a bigger factor in manufacturing cost than labor cost. So she's got a plan to address all that. We have to do that so we can rise together. Hillary said, look, I know anger is satisfying to people, but the truth is, if you want to build an economy that works, it has to be for the struggling, the striving, and the successful. We have to have shared prosperity so that we can all rise together. We have to have shared social policies so we can have inclusive communities. And to do that, we have to have a shared political system, which is why she believes this Supreme Court opinion is so important. We need a Supreme Court that will expand voting rights, not contract them. A Supreme Court that will protect labor rights, not take them away. A Supreme Court that will change the Citizens United decision, which says that free speech includes all your money, and since we have a right to free speech, a billionaire and a minimum wage worker are equally free to spend whatever they want on politics. It's a weird decision. I used to teach constitutional law. If I posed the question and I got that answer, I would flunk the student. But here we are. There's an opening now. Judge Garland is a good man, the person the president nominated. whether he's confirmed or not, there's a good chance, maybe better than 50-50, that about two other appointments will open up in the next 4 years. We cannot afford to have a president and a Supreme Court that look like the Congress we have today. We will never get any compromise. We will never get any progress. We will never get anything going forward. So the reason Hillary ought to be president is that she's a world-class change maker. She may not be the best talker, although I think she's pretty good. But I know this. I've been doing this work a long time. Before I was president, I was a governor for 12 years. Change is easy to talk about, hard to do. When I took office as governor, the whole middle of the country was wrecked. It took us 8 years to do it, but we turned our economy around. So when I came to New York, I said, one reason I'd like you to vote for me is that in every month of the last year, we have ranked first or second in the country in the creation of jobs, and we're one of only 8 states that has gained manufacturing jobs. It sounded great when I said it. Nobody saw all the blood, sweat, and tears that it took for 8 years to do it. I said, I'd like you to vote for me because our school system was just named one of the 2 most improved in America and the best in our region. What I didn't say was, a decade earlier, the same guy said it was the worst school system in America. And it took 10 years to do. You know this. You are builders. You are workers. You know the importance of effort and evidence. She is the best change maker I ever saw. And that's why, you know, when she got out of law school, she certainly wasn't a member of the political establishment. She had already gone to South Texas to register Mexican-American voters who had been in the country legally for 100 years, their families, but always systematically shut out. She could have taken a big job, making a lot of money. That's what she did. Then she joined the Children's Defense Fund, and she went to South Carolina to find out why African-American teenagers were being kept in prisons with adults and having their lives ruined. The report the Defense Fund filed helped to change the whole juvenile justice system down there. That's a big reason she got 73% of the vote in South Carolina, because they knew she'd always been there. And there's a difference in talking and doing. Then she went to Alabama, which was leading the country in an effort to perpetuate illegal segregated schools by dressing them up as private academies and then financing them in part with tax breaks, which private schools were eligible for, you know, deducting the cost of tuition and construction costs and everything. Everybody knew that it was a way of perpetuating segregation, but nobody had proved it. So Hillary, right out of law school, went to Dothan, Alabama, and posed as a housewife whose husband had just gotten a job there. And she went to one of these academies and she said, you know, she made small talk with the admissions officer, and finally she said, look, let's just cut to the chase. I just need an answer, yes or no. If my boy enrolls here, will he be in an all-white school? And the guy said, absolutely, and she had him. The school lost their tax exemption. Schools all over Alabama lost their tax exemptions. Schools all over the South lost their tax exemptions. That's why she got 78% of the vote in the Alabama primary, because they know she's a change maker. When she came to Arkansas to be with me, she gave poor people in the Ozark Mountains the first access to the civil justice system they'd ever had. She brought the first preschool program we'd ever had. There was nowhere in America that had large preschool programs in that weren't heavily paid for by successful people. She got it from Israel. She read about it, called a woman in Israel who started it, brought them there, and the program taught parents who couldn't read, write, or count to learn with their children and become their children's first teacher. And there are thousands of people all over America today that have better lives because of that. They have no idea she did that. The programs all over the country today, they have no idea. But she always makes something good happen. And then when I became president, we tried to pass health care reform, and we failed for one reason. We did not have 60 votes in the United States Senate to break a Republican filibuster. When President Obama sign the health care law, it's because we had 60 votes with zero votes to spare. So when people tell you it's not worth fixing what we've got, let's go back and have a single-payer system, say, sounds good, where's the 60 votes? We can't afford to wait. We can't afford to wait to get the people who don't have insurance. We can't afford to wait to get the cost of insurance down in New York and lots of other places with sensible reforms that are easily available to us. As soon as every state takes Medicaid expansion, and they will because it makes good economic sense, so eventually the ideological will give way to the actual, we'll be at 100% and we'll have a healthcare system that really works for everybody. I think she's right about that. But she didn't quit back then. One of the reasons that can happen is she and Senator Kennedy and others worked to pass the Children's Health Insurance Program. There are now 8.5 million kids insured under that. It's a big part of the affordable health care law the president signed, because she just doesn't give up. She went to the House Majority Leader of that time, which only older people here will remember, Tom DeLay. He made Ted Cruz look like a liberal on some things, and he sure didn't like me very much. And she went to see him and said, I know we don't agree on much. He said, Hillary, do we agree on anything? She said, yes, you love your children. He said, what's that got to do with it? She said, Congressman, I know you adopted those children, and I honor you for it. And we have all these children in America who are stuck in foster care. They're going to age out with no place to go, no training, no education, and no money. We can't let it happen. And she said, here's the problem. People are afraid to adopt children after they're not infants. They're afraid they can't shape their lives enough. They're afraid to adopt children with special needs. They're afraid they can't afford it. He said, well, what do you want to do about it? He said, well, first, you're a Republican, so you like tax cuts. Let's give a whopping tax credit to anybody who will adopt a child after infancy. And a lot of you will remember we also made it easier to adopt children from other countries at the same time. And she said, let's give a bigger one for people who will adopt someone with special needs. And then the government should spend some money to help these kids that are going to age out so they get the support they need. Here's what happened. It's the easiest bill I ever saw. They saw Hillary's name and Tom DeLay. They said, this can't be right. It flew through the Congress. I signed it. And by the time I left office, there had been an 80% increase in adoption of children out of foster care into stable homes. Now, she always makes something good happen. You heard Grace talking about her term as United States Senator. In addition to what she did for the city, I was in Buffalo the other day where there's a biometrics complex there in what was once called the Dying City that has 12,500 high-tech jobs. She got them the first investment money, and everybody who spoke said, you know, this was her idea. We didn't dream we could do this. She convinced us we could. Everywhere I go in the rest of New York State, somebody's got a story. She helped wine growers in upstate New York who never had an organized way of selling their wine in New York City restaurants. She helped farmers on Long Island. When she ran for re-election as senator in New York, the head of the Farm Bureau said he endorsed her, and the press aghast said, I thought you were a Republican. He said, I thought I was too. He said, but you know, all these politicians, they sound very good at election time. All I know is I've been helping family farmers a long time. And she is the only person who ever actually did something for us. I am for her. And so, you know, I could go on and on. Then she did what she did in the White House when she was Secretary of State. Even the Republicans loved it when she made a nuclear agreement with Russia that reduces the threat of accidental or intentional nuclear exchange. Such a treaty requires 67 votes in the United States Senate. That's a lot of Republicans. She got them. They liked it when she put the sanctions on Iran to try to stop them from developing a nuclear weapon, which would have led to four more nuclear states at least in the Middle East and endangered our common future. They liked it when she got other countries to agree to share intelligence with us for the first time to prevent another 9/11. But that's not all she did. She also realizes that you can't defend our country in the internet age with just a strong military and a strong diplomacy. So she asked President Obama, when he asked her to be Secretary of State, she said, okay, I want something. He said, what? She said, I want you to give me a couple of those computer geniuses you used to beat me in all those states where we lost because you were better delegate counters, you identified the vote better. Let's put them to work for America and take the social media battle to those who are fighting us. And that's very important in this community for one reason. You can build all the walls you want. You could build barriers against the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans so nobody could get to our ports. You could stop every airplane coming here from another country in airspace. You cannot stop the social media. What happened in San Bernardino was perpetrated by people who were converted over the social media. And I've been very proud that of all the people running, Hillary's been the most outspoken candidate against this foolish idea that we should ban Muslims from coming to America. We should demonize them all. We cannot win this battle without the Muslim Americans who make this country a better place. And we are kidding ourselves if we think we can. That's one reason when she left office, the approval rating of the United States was 20 points higher than it was when she began. And here's what I want to say about it. Everybody that's not for her says, well, that's all fine, but she knows people on Wall Street. She took money from Wall Street. Well, so did President Obama. Every single investigation has failed to turn up any case where she voted on the basis of that support. In fact, she is the only candidate you can vote for who actually went to Wall Street and said, you're going to take this economy down over this mortgage crisis if you don't change. She is the one who did that. She is the person that Congressman Barney Frank, who wrote the current bill, said has the best plan going forward to protect us from further financial problems. She is the person that these two very agitated hedge fund guys who started this political action committee have spent $1 million against. These people are not stupid. Do you think if they were really more worried about her opponent than her in terms of what they would do to rein in unnecessary risk, they'd be wasting their money attacking her? No. Look, the only thing I haven't liked about this campaign in our primary is every time somebody endorses Hillary, they are automatically derided on the internet streams of combat as members of the establishment. That would include the Human Rights Campaign, Planned Parenthood, the American Nurses Association, you, everybody, the Hispanic organizations that have endorsed her, the Congressional Black Caucus. Who would have known that more than 90% of the African Americans in Alabama, one of our poorer states, were members of the political establishment? Who would have known? Go figure. This is a question of talking and doing. The people that are for, including the senators that are serving and have served with both, the governor and the senior senator from Vermont are not for because they're hostile to their colleagues. They're for because they think she's a leader who will get more done. And I will leave you with this. It's not a reference to an Asian American. As Grace said, I was governor of Arkansas before I became president. In 2014, my senator from Arkansas, whose father was a senator and a governor, was defeated for re-election in the Republican sweep because he voted for the health care law. And he knew when he voted for it, it would beat him because the politics of our state have changed so much. And he stood up and said, when I was a boy, I had cancer. If I hadn't had good health care, I would have died. I never would have lived to be a father, much less an attorney general and a United States senator. I could not live for the rest of my life getting up every morning and looking at the mirror if I held my job to deny that same life-saving opportunity to millions of my fellow Americans. And he gave it up. I don't think that qualifies him for being a member of some establishment. But he's the nicest fellow you'd ever want to meet. He gave the shortest speech for Hillary anybody ever gave. He said, here's why I'm here to talk to you. I know both these candidates. I like them both. I serve with them both. But if you want to get something done, you better make Hillary president, and we'll get a lot done. That's what we got to do. And you got to vote on April 19th. I have to say one more thing seriously to make sure, because we got a lot of people in this crowd who don't know this. New York is the only big state in America that has what's called a stand-alone presidential primary. So 8 years ago when she and President Obama ran, she won here, he won his home state of Illinois. We are 50% larger than Illinois. We had a record turnout. They still had 50% more votes than we did because they have congressional elections, city council elections, state assembly elections on the same day. This is all the presidential election. That's why Grace asked you not only to vote, but to call all your friends, to email all your friends, to talk to your networks. We have got to have a big vote for Hillary in New York next week. And if we do, she'll be your president and you'll be glad. Thank you. God bless you.